This is my wife, Eileen. We're from Wafish Bay, for those of you who don't know. So yeah, it's my turn this morning to give you a message. So yeah. But yeah, I just want to say that, while preparing and just the season that we are in of Thanksgiving, and it's just really like, it's really awesome. I think this is a very exciting place that we are in, and yeah, we must really like, just grab hold of this thing and really, I just want to encourage all of us to dive into the Word and just, while preparing, I just search everything about Thanksgiving, and it's just so awesome how, just the way that God opened for us to actually be able to bring that sacrifice of Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I just want to say I'm very excited. If it seems that I'm not, I am. So let's just pray together before we start. Lord, I just want to, just once again, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And I just pray that, what I share here today, Lord, will just be pleasing unto your heart, Lord. And I just want to say that we are dependent on you, Lord, for everything that we say, Lord, and everything that we do, Lord. And Lord, without you, we can't even pray, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just inspire this morning, Lord, and that everything will just be pleasing unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today I'm going to speak about holiness through Thanksgiving. Okay, so I think Thanksgiving is one of in this world that we live in, is a big thing. You know, we live in a world where we work hard, and we work for what we have. Sometimes we feel, we deserve what we have, and it's sometimes difficult to break through in a place where you actually are really thankful for something, because we strive to get on top, and when we get there, we feel that we've achieved it. And so I think this is, I'm just so excited about this season that we are in as a church. And I also think that Thanksgiving is one of the most important things that there is in a life of a believer. Because through that, there's so many things that can happen through that, and it opens our hearts to so many things. And I hope that what we share today will open up a bit more about that when we share out of the Word. Okay, so back to holiness. You can just leave that on. I'll tell you to carry on with the slides. Slides aren't that great, but firstly, I want to say God's intention for us is to be holy. He says in His Word in Leviticus 11 verse 44. You can put that on. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. So God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be at a place, it's kind of like He wants us to be holy like He's holy. Like if you just stand, if we stood in awe now when we sang the previous song, it's like that's a place where God is calling us to be holy, where holy as He is holy. And sometimes, just before I carry on, we have this, sometimes we have this perception of holiness. You think you have to give up all these things in your life to be able to be holy. I just think of, like, sometimes you think you have to give up friendships, or you think you're still young, and to be holy is something that older people do, and you still want to be out there and try and be part of the group, and it's kind of, sometimes all of these things are actually just misperceptions of what holiness is. Holiness and happiness actually goes hand in hand. True happiness can only be there where holiness is. And I think it's the younger we are, the more young age we realize this, the better, because it's so awesome. It's just like this place of holiness from a young age just opens up a platform for the rest of your life, which is just like unbelievable. And I just want to, especially all of us, I just want to encourage you to really see holiness as an awesome thing. It's really a place of true joy, You know, and sometimes we can also think that there's this long list of things that we have to achieve before we can be holy, you know. And that's also not true, you know. It's like when you consecrate your life and give your sacrifice of thanksgiving, those things will be added onto you, and we will become more Christ-like, and we will become more holy, like God says, be holy like I am holy. So, yeah, holiness is a good thing. Okay. Now, I think it's always important to look at the Old Covenant and the Old Testament to really understand what we have now in Christ. Because Christ came to fulfill the law. So, I was just blown away by scripture this week I prepared. And sometimes we put the Old Testament aside and just want to look at what the guys in the New Testament did. But there's so much to learn. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. And everything in the Old Testament points to what Jesus actually came to do for us. And if we grasp that, there's like no way that we can't be thankful for that. And just it's awesome. So firstly, I want to start with why was the law there in the beginning? And basically, I think all of us know the story of Adam and Eve that sinned, and they became at a place where they became unholy. That's what sin does. It makes you unholy, and that resulted in the God giving the people of the Old Testament the law. Okay, and this law, the word all, So basically what the law was, or just to describe it a bit, is the word always speaks about the law of Moses and not the laws of Moses. So sometimes when we still fall under that mindset, We think that if we have a certain percentage of the Ten Commandments right, then we're okay, we're well away. But in actual fact, there's much more than the Ten Commandments. There were like over hundreds of laws and rules and things that people had to do. And in those days, if you fell short in some of these or one of these or whatever, then you've fallen short of the law. It's not the laws, it's the law of Moses. So, This is quite an important thing to understand, because the law is still in place. It's not, but it's been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. So the fact that we have to obey the law to be holy and with God, it's still a fact. God never changes, but the way we do it changed, because Jesus came to fulfill the law. So, if you look at the rest of that passage, Leviticus 11 verse 44, then it says that neither shall you defile yourself with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And that just says that, basically if you fall short of the law, touch something that is unholy, then you are unholy. So, yeah. So, if you can just put on the next slide. David Paulson, the guy that wrote Unlocking the Bible, explains it like it is. He actually explains in Leviticus. He actually explains Leviticus as one of the scriptures that Christians don't read at all, or not read, because it's all the laws and all the things of the Old Covenant. But it is actually so awesome to know it, and to know how Jesus came to fulfill each and every of those things. But basically, here you see a diagram. Just to explain, if you, there's one of three places where we can be as people in the world. If we live a sinful life, we live an unclean life. If we take the step to cleanse that and to not sin anymore, we live a clean life. Clean life, normal good life. If you look out there, there's many people living a good life. Many of all of us, we strive to be good. And then, as soon as we consecrate our life to God, as soon as if we give it over to God, it becomes holy. And if you can see here on the right, it says sacrifice that leads to life, and on the other side is sin that leads to death. So I wanna focus specifically on the sacrifice of thanksgiving today. But before I go into that, I just want to speak a bit about the law and how it was in the old times. The same way that you can consecrate, you can profane it, and it can become just a normal or a secular life again, and then by polluting it with sin, it can become unclean again. So, just to give you an example, like if someone is working in an illegal work where you're selling, say, smuggling illegal drugs or something, you are unclean. You know, a Christian shouldn't be in a work like that. Then there's a place where you do the right thing when you're working, like it's a normal work and everything. And then there's a place where you consecrate your work to God and it becomes holy. So just in the same way as a building contractor can consecrate his work to be holy, in the same way a missionary going on missions can only have a normal secular work if he doesn't consecrate it to the Lord. It's not holy. So just to explain this diagram, you know, before you get saved, you don't even realize that there's something above, or like that God calls us further than just a good life. You know, it's like we strive to be good. And I think sometimes, even myself, you know, I fall into that trap of, you know, I'm just like trying to tick all the boxes to be good, you know, and God's calling us to more than that. He says that, listen, yeah, you can try whatever you want, and you know, you can even get it right to have a good life, but I'm calling you to consecrate your life to me, to be holy. So, yeah, that's just an important thing that we have to understand. Okay. Yeah, so basically, what we are saying is that a good life isn't good enough for God. God is calling us to that higher place. Okay, now just looking at Leviticus as a whole, just to explain some of the things in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament, there were a lot of things that the people had to do. There were a lot of offerings that they had to bring. Now, they were... you can go read all about it. I'm just going to name them. There was like a sin offering, and then there was a trespass offering, and then there was these were offerings that were brought when the people of God were stepped out of the place of where they lived a clean life into an unclean life, and then they had to bring these offerings so that they could become holy again. And then there were gratitude offerings as well, and this was just offerings that the people brought, and it usually were with the sacrificing of animals and meat, and this would usually bring a nice smell, like when you are brying, you know, that kind of smell. Sometimes you think when you burn animals it doesn't smell nice, but it was like these gratitude offerings were I imagine it as a good vibe. You know, sometimes we have this, you're burning something as a bad thing, but it was like a good place where it was a gratitude offering where they could really consecrate their good lives to be holy to God and to come closer to God. And these were things that they had to do. So, yeah. Then there were a lot of rules and regulations that they had to follow in terms of what they had to eat, what kind of meat they can eat, how they had to wear their clothes, what color of clothes and everything they had to wear. So, there were a lot of rules and regulations of their everyday material things that they had to do that doesn't always make sense, like why should they do it, you know, but it was just laws that they had to follow to be holy. Then another thing that Leviticus speaks about is the worshiping calendar that they had, and this speaks about all the feasts that they had. Just to name a few, the Passover feast that they had, it's a feast of unleavened bread, in remembrance when God brought the Israelites out of the captivity of Egypt. Then there were the offering of the first fruits, which is awesome about this was that happened 3 days after, is that right? 3 days after Passover, which is so significant, because when at Passover the lamb was slain, and then after 3 days they brought the first fruits, and that is so significant with Jesus. After 3 days Jesus resurrected from the dead. So And this happened way before Jesus. It is amazing how, you know, the old feast and everything just points to and is fulfilled through what Jesus did. Then there were the feast of Pentecost. That was when the law of Moses were given, I think. Then the feast of Trumpets, where the shofar was blown. Then there was the Day of Atonement and Feast of Tabernacles, and then there were other things that they also had to do, like weekly, like the Sabbath they had to follow. And then there were every 50 years, there were, for instance, like the Year of Jubilee. That was another thing that they, that was like a very festive time, the time of the Lord. It was that every 50 years, all the bank accounts were like equaled, and some of the prisoners were saved and all taken out of prison and things like that. So it was a very, it was like the time of the Lord. So these were all like things that, that God's people had to do to be holy. Okay, so I just thought about a few possible reasons, you know, why there were certain laws. You know, sometimes we think like, why did they have to wear certain clothes, or there's certain like specific ways of offering, like, they had to put their hands on the head of the thing, and you know, all those steps that they had to do. And I just want to name a few reasons why I think they had to follow it that way. And the first thing is they had to learn what is that there is a difference between clean and unclean. So say for instance, in the food that they ate. Or something, the food that they ate could be for hygiene reasons as well, but by applying that principle in the fact that there is clean and unclean, they learned the principle that in life there is clean and unclean things. Then another thing that I thought about or I read about was these laws were things like constantly that they were in a place where they constantly observe themselves, because it's like everyday things. It's like you eat three times a day, you dress every day. Those things that they had, their focus was so constantly on what they did and how they did it, that they basically just had that constant observation on themselves. And if you read in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, it's not up there, you don't have to put it up. It says the word teaches that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to glorify God. So, you know, even in it still applies that everything that we do, we have to do it to glorify God. Then there was another reason why they had to follow these things, a possible reason is that people could distinguish that these are the people set apart for God. Like it was a visible thing, like actions that they did, that people could see, okay, listen, we can see that these are the people set apart for God. And if I can compare it to a scripture in the New Testament, John 13 verse 35, people will know that we are disciples by the love for one another. That's basically it's also kind of a place where we, instead of material things that people see, they will see our hearts for one another, and they will know that we are disciples. And then there were perhaps just reasons, perhaps another reason was just so that they could obey the lawgiver. I mean, it's as simple as that. If parents will know if your kids start doing things and they question your commandment or what you said to them, it's just like, listen, it's because daddy said so. There's no reason for it. It's just basically being at that place where God's people had to obey him because he's God, and without asking any questions or anything. So that's the background on the law and everything. But now Jesus came to fulfill the law, and this is the life that we are in now. This is the life that that we live every day. So basically, what the word is saying and what God is saying is that these laws and everything is There's still a requirement for these things to get into that place of holiness, but now through Jesus it has changed. In Matthew 5 verse 17, you can read on yourself, it says that Jesus came to fulfill the law. And it's just amazing how these feasts and everything has been fulfilled through the coming of Jesus, and also how some of these things will be fulfilled in the time that Jesus will come again. And I think, before I just carry on from this, the Lord topic, I think it's really an important thing that we know what these feasts meant to the people of God. And that will make us, know what we can expect and what Jesus is coming to do for us when he's coming again and what he has done for us on the cross. So, then I want to read from Galatians 4 verse 1 to 7. Sommige hier van die bord af. Okay. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So, what that is just, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Is it clear? So that just what that just explains is that what the word says there is that Jesus was born from a woman under the law, and he understood, he grew up in that, so he understood it, so by that he could fulfill it. He wasn't the outsider, or God became flesh and he became part of the world so that he can fulfill the law. So that's just a biblical explanation of that. I will let it's messy. Yeah, so basically, with us praising and thanking God, having a heart of a sacrifice of thanksgiving towards God. The Psalms speak a lot of bringing a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I just, the New King James, the Spiritual Bible has these word wealth pieces where they explain the words. And the word thanksgiving in this was todah. I don't know exactly from what language it comes, but Hebrew. And it means that it's an adoration and a praise to God. It literally means to extend your hand. So, when we stand here and we extend our hand to God, we lift up our hands to God, it's like, it's we actually bring that sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes we can get in the motion of just doing things, but we must understand that what we do is dynamic. It's a place where we bring that sacrifice of thanksgiving so that we can consecrate the things and be thankful for the things in our life, and through that it makes a platform for it to become holy. So now I just want to speak a bit about false doctrines that steals thankfulness. Now I just want to go back to the example of Adam and Eve in the garden when Satan came to deceive them. It's sometimes difficult to be thankful towards someone if you are in a place where you think that, listen, yeah, this person actually doesn't want the best for me. He's got different reasons for why he's doing things. And that is what Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden, is that he deceived them to think that God is keeping things from them. So they could eat from any tree in the whole garden. And that is something to be awesomely thankful for. It's like all these blessings that they had. And then Satan came and deceived them, and they, they lost that heart. You know, they lost that heart where they are basically at that place where they're thanking God, and they thought, okay, listen here, maybe we must try this, you know, maybe God's really like keeping things from us and things. So then they took from the fruit, you know, and yeah, just to use a practical example, you know, it's like we sometimes look at Adam and Eve and then we think, oh, why did they do it? You know, it's like it's such a stupid thing to do. Why would they do that? But if you say, for instance, you win the lotto, and you know people usually just passed you, and now all of a sudden everyone's trying to be your friend and trying to pull you into their friendship, and you know, obviously you'll have second thoughts of the reason. You know, it will be difficult for you to be thankful towards those friendships, because you might think, you know, there's maybe second thoughts on or hidden agendas with these people. Yeah, in the same way, you know, it's difficult when you are deceived, like Adam and Eve were deceived, to think badly about, to then still be thankful towards God. So, yeah. Then I want to speak about, yeah. Okay, then I want to go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 5. Okay. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the deceiving spirits and to doctrines of demons. That sounds hectic. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Okay, so there we see what role thanksgiving plays in terms of the things that we receive. And it basically forms a platform where from where we can sanctify our everyday things. So yeah, if we look at you know, if we fall in a place where, you know, sometimes we are the biggest culprits in our own lives. You know, we fall under this place where we have all these things that we have to do for ourselves to enable us to be at a place where we feel that we are accomplishing something for God. And, you know, we try to, or maybe someone is leading you in a place where you feel that, you know, you can't have something, or maybe you must do all of these things before you can be at that place. But God speaks about these things, that if it is received in thanksgiving, you see, it's shifting the focus from the things to the heart, to your heart. If it is received in thanksgiving, and what was so exciting about this for me is that in verse 3 it says that these things were created specifically to be received in thanksgiving. So God created these things so that we can be at a place where, when receiving these things, we can show thanksgiving to Him, we can show praise to Him, and in that place consecrated to be holy. So, yeah, you know, like I said in the beginning, we have these long things of what we sometimes tell ourselves that we have to do to be holy and everything. But at the end of the day, if we receive things, we see it from God, and we are thankful for that, bring praise to God, bring glory to God. That is why certain things were created, you know, and that was just such an awesome thing for me when I realized it, you know. And it's like, the scripture names a few examples there. But, I mean, in your work, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, you know, what is our attitude towards these things? Are we thankful for it, or are we Do we see it like, yeah, you know, I've worked hard for my finances, or I wish my finances were more, or I'm always sick, or we must start thanking God for these things. These things were, the things that God created was created so that we can receive it in thanksgiving. And through that, it will become consecrated and holy to God. And we will basically be able through that to have relationship with God. To be holy as He is holy. Amen. Yeah. Then another thing that thanksgiving does is humility. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to receive something. Sometimes difficult to be at a place where you are on the receiving end, and you have to thank someone. You know, it's difficult because you are at a place where you feel that you aren't in control. You didn't, this thing that you have here on your lap now didn't come from your own doing. It is from something else, and you must actually then be not self-sufficient, but actually you are dependent on that thing if you receive it with thanksgiving. So it's sometimes difficult for us to receive. Basically what the outcome must be is to thanksgiving must take the focus off ourselves and put it on the giver, who is God. Just to give an example of that is, I drive an old Land Rover. And I drove it I was driving from Impangeni to Durban once on the N2, one of the big national roads in South Africa, and the car broke down. And I mean, if it became dark then, it was like over for me. It was a very very dangerous road in terms of crime and everything. So obviously, another Land Rover came and they stopped and they helped me. All the Toyotas just drove past, but the Land Rover stopped there. But you know, if I was to, obviously my heart was thankful towards that person stopping there. I was like actually dependent on this person for stopping there. And if I would start getting demanding and telling him, listen, I need this and this. Why don't you have water in your car for my engine? And and starting to make these lists of things that needs to be done, then that guy would have just driven off, you know? And, it's just being at that place of, you know, when you receive something, show thanksgiving towards that thing. And, you know, through that, once again, it will be consecrated to God. Then I want to read from Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving. So Scripture is very clear there on how we have to do that. So, as I said just now, you can't be demanding in everything, but in thanksgiving, you can make your requests that you have on your heart known to God. And specifically in this thing, they are speaking about thinking things that's making us anxious. Big things in our life, you know, life-changing things. The life or death situations. But it says there in everything. So that means the things that also doesn't make you anxious, maybe. Maybe simple things like writing an exam, maybe that's a bad example for the school kids. That can be life or death sometimes. But you know, I just thought back to my days when I was still a student. You know, I felt that some things, you know, you bring before God and you ask Him for it, and other things is just like, that's life, man. You just do what you have to do and go through it. The Scripture says in everything, make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Everything. You know, if say for instance my studies, I made my request known to God in thanksgiving, how much more He could have been glorified through it. You know, sometimes we think we must just, it's just by our own doing. But by thanking God for simple things, and first turning to Him with thanksgiving, He will be glorified, even in the smallest things of our life. And just another interesting thing about that verse is that, you know, God doesn't say all your requests will be met, you know. He says that you will have peace which surpasses your mind. So He doesn't give you like everything that you ask for, but He will give you peace and He will give you a way through that, and you will be glorified. So yeah, that's my message today. And I just wanna Clarence, if you guys can come up. I don't know where you are in your life today, but and I'm not gonna call anyone up today. I just want us to just search our own hearts. Are there things that in your life you're anxious about? Are there things in your life that you are still in trying to be in control, that you're not thankful of? What are the things in your life that you are negative about? That you feel that I cannot be thankful for this because at the end of the day, look at what everyone has. I don't have that, or everyone is healthy, but you know, I get sick the whole time, or I have problems with my health, or finances, everything. I just want us to go into a time of just searching our own hearts and just trusting God to reveal in our hearts places where we can be more thankful, and through that glorify His name, through that sanctify those things to be holy as He is holy. I'm just going to give a short while for that, and then we'll close with prayer.